You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What was the reception at council to central government's decision to re-enter a level 3 lockdown?
Well, I think at council there was an understanding that it might happen, and there was a lot of preparation underway to ensure that we could make it as smooth as possible a transition. But of course, at the same time, you know, it did create a lot of anxiety and concern and disruption for the community and for businesses. So council was trying to respond as best as possible to make sure that everything was implemented smoothly. And of course, you know, when we went into lockdown, there were issues around the testing stations and traffic jams and just getting the comms right and just reassuring people that they didn't have to do panic buying, that we would ensure, for example, in my ward that covers Aotea Great Barrier, just ensuring, for example, that the freight was still going to get in and out. So things like that got put in place very quickly, and I think that really reflected the planning that had been underway, just to make sure that, you know, as soon as the alert level did come in, there was the preparation had been done about closing facilities and continuing essential services and getting the comms right.
Right. Knowing there's not really any hope of the virus going away anytime soon, how long has council been planning for re-emergence, and what happens to the last few weeks and next few weeks of proceedings?
Yeah, well, council isn't the lead agency in terms of our COVID response, but as a support partner with, you know, for government. But we have a dedicated, you know, emergency management response team who had been working on the plans and anticipating what would happen as we moved into different alert levels. So now, for example, that team are now focused on, as we move into alert level 2 next week, that facilities can start to open and how that's going to happen, because, you know, alert level 2, there's still requirements for physical distancing. And then working to, you know, things like we've got new requirements that we haven't needed before, like having to wear masks on public transport. Mm. So there's a team at, you know, Auckland Transport putting that into action. Like, what does it mean to have all the signage on buses to make sure bus drivers can turn people away when they don't have masks on? What information is going to be needed to be required to ensure that buses don't fill up too much and keeping the services going? So that's all in place at the moment, looking forward. And, of course, anticipating what might happen if we do have to go in and out of alert levels, which is not the situation we want to be in, but we've got to anticipate a whole variety of scenarios that could happen going forward.
Sure. When we are in lockdowns, people do notice that the city centre can get much emptier. And I think a lot of people sort of wonder if that means a lot of building projects could go ahead, because surely workers at those sites could social distance. Is this correct, or do the restrictions and sort of temporariness of this lockdown make it difficult to re-engage at such short notice?
Yeah, well, I think that's been the difference this time, that strictly we're not in lockdown, we're in alert level 3 restrictions. And so that's meant that any business that can open safely is still able to do that. And we have seen the city centre construction continuing. I don't think any projects have stopped. There's a bit of uncertainty around some of our big projects, like, say, the city rail link that has continued in the tunnelling. They've got a few issues with their essential workers that are coming in from overseas, for example, or losing people that thought they would, you know, that they're from, say, Europe, and they were hoping that they would be able to work here but go home quite frequently, and they've just decided to pack up and leave. So there's a whole, I guess, a lot of new issues, but generally, what's been happening is that the construction has continued on things like the Kurangahape Road cycleway, the downtown project package of work, you know, including like Quay Street and lower Queen Street Square. They're all underway. We just haven't been able to go and have too much of a lock.
Yeah, well, yeah. You've long advocated for better cycleways. Are you pleased to see how construction for cycleways in particular has been upheld through this level three?
Well, it's been good to see projects continue, but I guess my frustration is that Auckland Transport's not leveraging the experience that we've had of having, you know, of responding to COVID to actually roll out a whole lot of infrastructure much more quickly. So we've got some, you know, really good projects that are going to expand the network, but not a real game changer. I mean, I want to see Auckland Transport really step it up so that we don't just kind of go back to, well, we're never going to have, it's never going to go back to normal, mm-hmm. what we used to be, used to experience. So we've got to actually look forward and think about how people are going to want to travel in a COVID world. And that's going to involve a lot more active transport. And we know that people will get on their bikes when they feel safe, which is, you know, what's happened through Alert Level 3. A lot more people on bikes, even sort of in winter conditions, because there's a lot less traffic, so they feel safer.
Mm. I'd love to unpack that. Do you think that Auckland Transport see COVID as an opportunity, as you just outlined it, to roll out infrastructure that a lot of Aucklanders are pretty clear that they'd like?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I will criticise Auckland Transport if I feel there's a genuine, if there's a genuine issue. And with the cycleway construction, I have been a very vocal critic of the fact that Auckland Transport are not stepping up their rollout of cycleways as quickly and cheaply and effectively as they could be. And so, but I recognise, I mean, they do have this tension of the fact that we've got real big budget constraints this year because we've had to pass an emergency budget.
Right.
The council's income revenue has been greatly reduced. So there is less money. But at the same time, what I want to see Auckland Transport is actually take a more innovative and nimble approach to using, say, temporary measures just to get safe infrastructure installed, and that's what I'm want to see happen, and I'm impatient that it's not at the moment. We're not seeing very little sign of that.
Mm.
For example, you know, it's happening on Queen Street, which is great, which is a specific project where we've seen the installation of kind of tactical urbanism, what we've called that, just temporary measures to create additional space for people. So we've got the tools, but I don't think Auckland Transport's got the ability at the moment to roll that out any wider.
Mm. Such a long waiting game. It never ends.
yeah, and I guess this is where, you know, if we continue at the current rate of building cycleways, it's going to take another 50 years before we've got a network. A complete network. I mean, I just think that's really unacceptable.
Yeah. Moving to our final couple of topics, do you see a difference in how local businesses in the suburbs are faring through level three as opposed to those in the CBD, which are sort of more reliant on foot traffic, which there is still some in level three?
Yeah, well, I think it has been a big hit for the city centre businesses, especially the hospitality that relies on workers coming into town and students, visitors, international tourists, you know, that are just not there. And so although there's a big city centre residential population, that's really not enough to sustain all the businesses that are in the city centre. So I haven't seen the exact numbers, but I'm sure it's going to be that it will be that it's been a bigger hit in the city centre than in our fringe town centres.
Yeah. Do you anticipate that there will be a cultural realisation about how dependent we are on tourism, and possibly we should enact better circular economy initiatives so that in times like these things can keep going?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to become far more reliant on our domestic economy, and you know, we should be pushing ahead with what needs to be put in place for a circular economy. I mean, just even things like how we're going to rethink, say, tourism. New Zealanders spend $10 billion overseas every year on leaving New Zealand for tourism. So there's, you know, if we can put that focus back into New Zealand tourism and, you know, tourism in Auckland, then there's probably a lot of, you know, that could be a positive way forward. But of course, it's always going to be dependent on what restrictions are in place. I mean, we saw when we came out of the last lockdown, there was a big resurgence of domestic tourism and people going out. But, you know, it's hard to think that that will be the same this time. I think that people will be a lot more wary and won't be as enthusiastic to kind of party up, put it that way.
Interesting. We would really like to hear a little bit about the Environment and Climate Change Committee meeting was postponed, obviously, for this month. Are you able to shed some light on what was or is to be discussed when that can go ahead again?
We had our big decision last month, so that was signing off on the Climate Action Plan, was on in July. So the meetings are actually held every 2 months. So we're looking, you know, now the work is really stepping up in terms of implementing the plan and what do we need to do to harness all of the regional partnerships that we need to act on the plan, because it's not just council. You know, we have a big role, but we're not going to be able to reduce our emissions just working alone. So that's going to be the next sort of step for the committee, is putting in place what's needed to implement the plan. And also a big part of our focus is what budget do we need going into what's called the 10-year budget next year, that gets consulted on in February. And that's where we have to map out where do we want, where do we need funding to implement the climate plan. So for example, you know, are we investing in electric buses, or what specific things does council have to do to fund, and how do we ensure there's a climate lens on everything that council does, whether it's, you know, across you know, our community facilities, our infrastructure that we're building, you know, our venues, everything that council does, we've got to make sure a climate lens goes across that.
Mm.
So that's sort of the work that's underway at the moment. And that will be coming to the, I think it should be next month, we should be having a committee meeting.
Cool. Fingers crossed that it can go ahead. And is the mission to decarbonise Auckland's transport by 2030 part of that vision that you were just touching on?
Yeah, so I mean, it is a bold, ambitious target in terms of 50% emissions reduction by 2030. And to achieve that, we've got to basically decarbonise transport, which was very much the topic recently at the Bike Auckland event, All Aboard, where we heard from Dr. Paul Winton just about what needs to happen to achieve that goal.
Mm.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.